Generally, every Sunday we have a Sunday feast program, which is generally termed as the Sunday love feast, because our spiritual master started this program to invite everyone to our temples and receive the love of God through this feast. And all over the world, in our temples, every Sunday, in every temple we have this program where we invite everyone to come. So today is one such Sunday feast, Sunday love feast. And I just happen to be here today, so I was asked to give a lecture. Actually, you all know that we are pursuing spiritual life. And, of course, spiritual life means a life that is centered around God. And that is our life today. Whatever we do, we simply try to do it for the sake of the Lord and for spreading the glories of the Lord so that people can become more and more God-conscious. Actually, today's world is very much afflicted with all kinds of crises, all kinds of problems. And when we analyze the reasons behind all these calamities, then we can very easily conclude that it's all because people are becoming averse to God. The more the people are going away from God, the more they are suffering. In today's world, although materially we have made a lot of progress, but still people are not happy. If we consider the rate of suicide, the rate of divorce, the rate of abortion, the rate of crime, then very easily one can understand that in spite of so much material advancement, the world actually has become very, very troubled. It's become a very, very troubled place, and everyone is practically very much troubled. And and the reason is that with this materialistic advancement, people are becoming more and more averse, more and more atheistic. People are becoming more and more averse to God. And as they are becoming averse to God, the more miserable their life is becoming. So every thoughtful man should consider this point and try to at least figure out how to make one's life happy. Actually, all the material things that we want, the reason behind that all is to become happy. All that we want, all that we are doing, is everything is motivated by one objective, that is happiness. Now, how does one become happy? Now, if you ask us, then the obvious answer would be that by becoming God conscious. Because we have seen it in our lives, when we did not accept God, then our life also was very miserable, very much afflicted with all kinds of material miseries and distresses. But ever since we took to the spiritual life, our life has become joyful. And this way, we have the first-hand experience, and that's why we are so concerned about giving this understanding to you. Our appeal to you is simply, why don't you just accept God? Now, we do not ask you to accept God blindly. No intelligent man would accept anything blindly. And if he does accept anything blindly, he will not going to be satisfied inwardly about that. So we never ask you to accept God blindly. But we simply ask you, why don't you at least consider this point and analyze it for yourself, reason it out for yourself with your intelligence, and then figure it out whether it really means something or it's just some empty words. Actually, we are not here to spread any particular kind of religion as such, or convert people and so on and so forth. We are here just to give the understanding of God, and the understanding of God is that God is the Supreme Personality. That He is the Supreme Controller, He is the Supreme Proprietor, He is the Supreme Benefactor, He is the Supreme Enjoyer. He is the Supreme in all respects. And all the religions are actually pointing out to that one and only one God. It is not that Hindus have one God, Christians have another God, Jews have another God, and Muslims have another God. God is one, and all the religions are actually pointing out to that one and only one God. But unfortunately, less intelligent people make the discrimination because of the external rituals. The external rituals of Hinduism may differ from the external rituals of Islamism, or external rituals of Islamism may differ from the external rituals of Christianity. So that is how there may be some differences externally due to the time, place and circumstances, but we must understand that our objective is not to just get caught up with the external rituals. Those differences are simply external. But we must aspire, we must try to approach the essence. And when we reach the essence, or at least when we approach the essence, then there cannot possibly be any differences. Like in our society, there are members or devotees from different religious backgrounds. Different religious backgrounds. And it's not that they have given up their religion or they have changed their religion, but the understanding is they have become situated in the right practice of their religion. Regarding that, I often think of an example that our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, gave. When Prabhupada was in America, Catholic priests came to Prabhupada and asked him, why are you converting these Christian boys and girls into Hindus? And Prabhupada's immediate answer was, no, I'm not converting the Christians into Hindus or Christians into Jews or Jews into Muslims. He says, I'm simply making better Christians out of the Christians, better Jews out of the Jews, better Muslims out of the Muslims, and better Hindus out of the Hindus. See, when we become situated in the right religion, then there cannot possibly be any discrimination. Because religious life is spiritual. And these discriminations are material. Like the language in Switzerland may be different from the language of Afghanistan. Or the complexion of the Germans may be different from the complexions of Africans. The habits of the Indians may be different from the habits of the Americans. But these geographical differences are simply external. But ultimately what we are living entities. We are spiritual beings. That is the main understanding. Our actual identity is not this external body, but our actual identity is the spirit that makes the body alive. And at least the human life should be meant for understanding that spirit. Otherwise, the human life and the animal life doesn't have any difference. The animal life is based on four animalistic propensities like eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Now, if human life also is motivated by these four animal propensities, then what is the use of being endowed with a very advanced or elevated or developed intelligence. No one will deny the fact that the human beings are very, very intelligent beings. Every human being is much more intelligent than the most intelligent animal. Now, what is the use of the human intelligence if it is just misutilized in leading a life like that of an animal? So that's why the Vedas, the Vedic wisdom, pointed out Athato Brahma Jiggasha. Now that you have got the human birth, you must inquire about your actual identity. You must question who you are. And that question only human beings can question, and they can get the answer. A dog doesn't question, who am I? At least I haven't seen any dog who is questioning, who am I? Let me figure out. And then sitting down and meditating who he actually is. But a human being can. And actually human beings must. That is the use of human intelligence. That is the reason why we have been endowed with a very, very elevated intelligence. It is not that only the Hindus will question who he is, and Christians will not, or Muslims will question where he came from, and Christians will not. No. Everybody must question, irrespective of these apparent material differences. Actually, when we see that, at least we must understand one thing, that the human beings are a race. Like when we consider the tigers, a tiger may be coming from India, or a tiger may be coming from Africa, or a tiger may be coming from Siberia. But they're all tigers. No one will deny the fact that the African tigers are only the tigers, and the Siberian tigers are not tigers. They all are tigers, and they all are just one race. The same way, we all human beings are human beings. We may come from, some may come from India, some may come from America, some may come from Europe, and some may come from Africa. But we all are human beings. At least we should deal with each other with that point, with that on that platform. Intelligent human beings should not make these apparent discriminations. And then, let us consider what is the real knowledge? Where can we get the real knowledge? And let's pick it up from there. It may come from India, or it may come from China, or it may come from Russia, or it may come from Africa. Like, if you're searching for the real thing, then you must find out where you get the best one. Like, if you're searching for gold, you won't say that, well, I mean, if the gold is American, then I won't take it. No one says that. Whoever is searching for gold, he'll take the gold no matter wherever it comes from. Because gold is gold. It doesn't really matter where it is coming from. So the same way, this knowledge, the absolute knowledge, the knowledge about the spirit, should be received from wherever it is coming and from whatever source it is coming. We should not think that, well, this is Indian and we should not take it. Or we should not think that it's only, we are Indian and that's why it is our and we won't give it to others. No. Let us consider whoever is willing to take it, let's give it to him, and whoever has it, let's let him offer it to everybody else. And that will make our life richer. And I'm sure in that case the world will become a much better place to live in. Today, human beings, those who have the broadest intelligence, actually has become the narrowest living entity. Human beings, at least the animals, don't fight in the same species. But the human beings are fighting in the same species. Only in crisis animals fight with each other. The lion fights with another lion only when they are approaching a lioness. If there is one lioness and there are two lions, then they'll fight. Other animals, the carnivorous animals, may fight for their food. But generally, for no rhyme or reason, they don't fight. But in the human society, we are seeing that the human beings have become their greatest enemies. Every nation is practically fighting with some other nation. And then it boils down to the basic point, that is, every individual is fighting with every other individual. As it is, the life on the material platform is such a struggle. We are constantly struggling for survival. So why increase that struggle? But we could very easily have a harmonious relationship with each other. But in order to have that harmonious relationship, we have to have a common unifying factor. And that common unifying factor is God. If we just accept God, and in relationship with God, if we all become His children, then we automatically will become brothers to each other. We'll automatically develop a fraternal relationship with each other. In relation to the Father, the sons become brothers to each other. And if we understand that we have a common Father, God, then very easily we can become brothers to each other. And then there won't be any fight. Like in our society is a perfect example for that. Like our society actually has devotees from different countries, from different religious and social backgrounds. But we are living in perfect harmony. In our society, the Hindus and Muslims, Christians and Jews, they're living under the same roof, like brothers. The Russians and Americans are embracing each other in that understanding of love and trust. So we can see that when we accept God as our Supreme Father, then we can very easily unite with each other. And if that principle applies in a small sphere, it is just a matter of expanding the sphere of application, then the same result will be there. Like if in this God consciousness, in this society of ISKCON, different people from different countries, different religious and spiritual background can become united, if this principle is applied worldwide, then the whole world will become united without any doubt. So, time is short. Actually, I have to leave tonight, and I don't want to, just in one meeting, I don't want to burden you with too many ideas. But finally, I'll just make one small request, that please read our books. We have many books, and these books are filled with wisdom. It is not that I'm saying it because I belong to this society and I'm just canvassing about our books, but it is a fact. Like, I am in this society because in this society I found the highest wisdom. And those books are saturated with that wisdom. So please read those books and find it out for yourself. Who would not want to make his own life better? Everybody is searching for the highest possible thing. So why should not we take it, or at least try it out if it is available? So please read these books and find it out for yourself whether it makes any sense. You all are intelligent persons, and after all, everyone is aspiring for happiness. everyone is aspiring to be elevated to a higher platform of life. So why shouldn't you at least give yourself a try? And it is not that if you read these books, then you'll also become Hare Krishnas. Like, you'll also have to shave up your head and wear these strange clothes, as you think. No, you can do whatever you are doing. You can be wherever you are. But I can guarantee that if you accept the process, then it will change your consciousness. You can carry on doing whatever you are doing. If you are in business, or if you are in service, or if you are going to school, doesn't matter, whatever you are doing, you can carry on doing that. But your life will change to a very, very great extent for better. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any question pertaining to today's discussion? Okay, thank you all very much. So, maybe we can do some bhajan together. Chant a little bit of Hare Krishna together. Gaurlila, get somebody to play the mridanga. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that we sing is actually the names of, different names of the Lord, and ultimately it's actually a prayer. You see, this mantra, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, consists of 16 names of the Lord, and they are actually three names combination. Those three names are Hare, Krishna and Rama. These three names signify the Lord's different qualities. The word Krishna means the supreme attractive personality. Krishna in Sanskrit means all attractive. Karshati iti Krishna. And Rama means the supreme enjoyer. And Hari means the Lord who delivers us from our material bondage. So when you say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, actually means that, O my Lord, all attractive supreme personality, the supreme enjoyer, please deliver us from our material bondage and situate us in your spiritual energy, in your spiritual nature. So he's saying this with us. Let's first repeat the mantra. Please repeat the mantra after me. Please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama
Rama.
Rama.
Hare Hare. Is it many of you are not saying it? I hope it's not too difficult to pronounce. Please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Rama.
Hare
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama. Hare
Hare.
So if I sing it, will it be difficult for you to sing it after me? Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada.
Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur. Actually, it is very important that we pray. Actually, when I was singing, I was thinking that it is so purifying, because you see, prayer means singing the glories of the Lord. And when we do sing the glories of the Lord, we become aware of the Lord. Actually, we have forgotten God. Let's face that fact, that in the material platform, we all have forgotten God. Actually, we have fallen into the material platform because we have forgotten God, or we have rejected God. And when we pray to the Lord, then we become aware of Him. To give an example, that when, say for instance, you all are familiar with the names of the Lord like Omnipotent or Omniscient. Now, everyone will agree that God is omnipotent. Like, if there is somebody called God, then He is all-powerful. And that no one can deny. That is the identity of the Lord. The Lord is all-powerful. Now, if we keep on repeating that word, omnipotent, actually we are reminding ourselves that God is all-powerful. And when you go out and tell others that, do you know God is all-powerful? Then we make them also aware of God's qualities, and we ourselves become aware of God's qualities too. So as I mentioned before, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is a Sanskrit mantra, which is a prayer in Sanskrit, you can say, and it is actually a prayer to the Lord, urging or appealing to Him that, my Lord, I have become isolated from You. I have forgotten You, I have rejected You. Please, You deliver me from this miserable material existence and engage me in Your devotional service. Allow me to be with You in the spiritual nature and enjoy with You. So when you sing that, we become aware of our relationship with the Lord, which is the most important thing for our existence. And if you find that this prayer is difficult for you to understand, then at least pray to Lord in some way or other. We are not saying that you have to pray only in Sanskrit and you can't pray in other languages. You can pray in any language, whatever suits you. But the main criterion is that you have to become aware of your relationship with the Lord. If you do, then you will become a better person and your life will become more joyful. It is, benefit is yours. But at the same time, the choice is also yours. It's you who have to decide whether you will accept it or not. Whether you will accept God or whether you will reject God. If you want, you can reject God. But at least have it from me, that then your life will become miserable. As it is, without God, your life is miserable. And if you do not accept God, your life will become even more miserable. But if you do accept God, then your life will become joyful. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.